Thank you for joining us on our podcast today, Icons, a conversation with icons in our industry. And we've got a great one today, Nathan Stelter. Nathan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Eddie. Yeah, thanks for the invite. This is terrific. I really appreciate it.
Nathan, as you know, is the president of the Stelter Company, a great company. They do great work. And it's a two-generation company now, if not three, with his children growing up. But Nathan is not only a great professional, he's a great guy and somebody that I appreciate and respect. And Nathan, we have really enjoyed having these conversations with icons, and I consider you one of the icons of our industry. So thanks for doing this.
Well, thanks, Eddie. I think this is a great series. I'm glad you guys started this. And there's so many great folks that I've actually already listened to on your series. So just happy to be included. I'm happy to share whatever I can to help others out. Thanks so much.
Well, when you think back about your career, what is the most important lesson you've learned?
You know, that's a great question. You know, obviously, you know, this industry, this space continues to evolve. And, you know, there's probably not one, there's probably a couple different things that have popped up over time that I think have really been important for me. I think one is just, and it's kind of cliche because I feel like people say it all the time, but it's really surrounding yourself with smart people. You know, I'm a firm believer in self-awareness being a critical aspect to having success. And, you know, while I think I've learned quite a few things over my career and a pretty good instincts around, you know, not only kind of where our industry's evolving, but, you know, subsequently how Stelter needs to pivot to serve that industry. I know I'm not the smartest cat in the world, and I'm fine with that. It isn't really rocket science, but it's amazing still to this day how I see folks, maybe not solely in this industry, but other industries as well, that make it all about themselves. And, you know, they think they're the smartest person. And I think it's really important to understand we all have gaps. We all have blind spots. And the more aware of that, the better off you're going to be. And in fact, you know, kind of one of the things we try to look at when we're hiring, and we've hired 14 people here in 2020. So we've had some really nice growth during this kind of crazy period of time, is always looking to replace yourself in every hire, you know. We have a long, long history of hiring amazing people. But you know, whether it's formal succession planning or even looking at what we kind of call the single points of failure, it's really important to always be building for the future. And so I think that's one of the biggest things. You know, I think one of the other things that really is important to me is around building culture. And I think, you know, even prior to me joining 20 years ago, we've always prided ourselves on the family side and the culture side. And this year in particular, with everything's been thrown at us, the culture even built around openness and trust. And our values. I mean, it was fortuitous, actually, Eddie. It was very fortuitous back, which seems like 3 years ago now, but January 2020, we released our new values to the company. And this wasn't something that leadership pontificated on and built out in a bubble. It was something that was really built from the grassroots up. And, you know, the five new, very succinct values really have helped, I think, us throughout this year in a remote environment, a work from home, a lot of anxiety and stress with children at home and all those things. But our five values of we advocate, we create, we collaborate, we resonate, and then ultimately we celebrate, you know, they've really just hit a core with our staff. And I think at a perfect time, giving the fastball or curveball or whatever you want to call we were throwing at us this year.
You know, I remember this is back in the almost before you were born. I worked with a gentleman who had in the early 80s, an $860 million stake. That was a lot of money. And it's a lot of money now, but it's really a lot of money in the 80s. He had company after company after company. And I asked him one time, do you hire the smartest person? And he said, well, I want smart people, but I want honest people first. Because he said, who wants a smart crook working for you? And
yep.
I thought that's one thing I love about what you've done. You not only hire smart people, but they're good people. They're people of integrity. They care about their clients, just like they do about their family. And that's really difficult to replicate in this world. And you all have done it. Congratulations on that.
No, thank you. And I think that's a great point of differentiation there. You're spot on, because I do know there was one point that I can recall in our history of when we deviated And we did look for the smartest person. It happened to be for a CFO we had years ago. And we had deviated from hiring for culture and for hiring for a fit. And on paper, this person looked great, and we hired them. And sure enough, the concerns we had around culture fit popped back up, and we had to kind of part ways. Because if you're not hiring for culture and fit, and that value system isn't there, it doesn't matter how smart you are.
Yeah. This is the hard question, I think. What's been the biggest mistake you've made professionally, and what did you learn from it?
Yeah, that is a tough one. I mean, I think, you know, if you're not making mistakes, you're not probably growing. And so, you know, we've all made a fair share of our mistakes. You know, I think there's probably one or two that really kind of resonate or popped up in my mind. I think one is this space, and over even the short 20 years I've been part of this, how things have changed so rapidly and quickly. Is trying to, I think the mistake we maybe went a little bit too long on was trying to be everything to everybody. You know, I know I was employee 38 back in June of 2000. And we were working with, as a publisher largely at that time, working with about 2,100 charities around the country. And we were able to do that with a small staff. And we were able to get the information out and educate and inform their donors or prospective donors. But as, you know, digital started having a bigger role, and obviously as we started really becoming more of an agency, moving into an agency model, we had to make some critical business decisions. And one of those was the hard decision of we can't really be everything to everybody. We don't have the time, because we're spending so much in-depth time working and getting really being an extension of our clients' offices now, understanding their brand, understanding their pains and their goals and their donors. So we've had to, and thankfully we did correct that, but we had to very politely divorce some smaller clients that maybe didn't have the size or scope or commitment, really, more than anything else, the commitment to plan giving. You know, I think as you've probably seen as well, there's been a lot of organizations that say, hey, we need to do plan giving, but it's essentially a checkbox because their board or their boss told them to, and they don't really track, they don't pay attention, they don't follow up. And, you know, I think our staff does amazing work. And if we're going to spend that time, energy, resources to do that type of work, I want to make sure our partners on the nonprofit side are running with it and able to execute on it. So I think that's been one of the biggest ones. Go ahead.
Nathan, one thing I would add to that is I think a high standard of integrity requires that we work with people that we can genuinely help. And that's what you've done. And I compliment you for that.
No, I appreciate that. And again, it's funny, you know, 20 years after, and, you know, while it's 20 years, it's still flown by. And you look at, you know, I can almost kind of tell who are the clients that we really resonate with, or who looks like us when I meet them the first time, and do we value the same things? And I mean, that's one thing I think you and I can both agree on in this industry. I mean, we're so blessed to work with so many great people. But sometimes from time to time, you get somebody coming across your desk and you're like, you know, they're in it for the short term. They don't understand that this is a long play. And this is about not just, you know, building your resume for this 12 months or 24 months that you're at this institution, but it's around the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. How do you build for the future? And, you know, again, that's where we had to kind of make that hard decision, where while there's a lot of great charities that of all shapes and sizes that we'd love to work with, you know, we can only work with, the ones that are really in it for the long haul.
Well, you've done a great job. You have a great company, you have wonderful people, and you provide a tremendous service. I really appreciate you taking time to spend with us and having this conversation. You're someone that I appreciate very much, Nathan.
Well, I appreciate it, Eddie, and the same goes to you and what you've built there and the great team. And I know a lot of your folks there. And I think we've had a handful speaking as part of our webinar series as well. So I think that speaks volumes for the quality and type of folks you've hired as well. So no, I appreciate it. And I think, keep up the awesome work that you guys are doing.
Thank you. Same with you. I think we compliment each other. Well, this has been Nathan Stelter, president of Stelter, wonderful leader, a great icon in our industry, carrying on a great work. And Nathan, we appreciate your time. And we look forward to the time we're together again for the next podcast for conversations with industry icons. Wish you all the best.